Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, and we're in text 28 and 29. Is 28 on the board? I can't see. It's Kita. Okay. Okay. Kita? 28, okay. Gita, Peshaskrita, Rudaha, Gudyayam, Tam, Anusmaran, Samramba, Baya, Yogena, Vindate, Tat, Sarupatam, Kita prashaskrita ruda, Hudyayam tam anusmaran, Samrambhavaya yogena, Vindate tat svarupatam, Kita prashaskrita ruda, Hudyayam tam anusmaran, Samrambhavaya yogena, Vindate tat svarupatam, Kita prashaskrita ruda, Hudyayam tam anusmaran, Samrambhavaya yogena, Vindate tat svarupatam. Kita prashaskrita ruda, Gudyayam tam anusmaran, Samrambhavaya yogena, Vindate tat svarupatam. Prashaskrita ruda, Gudyayam tat anusmaran, Samrambhavaya yogena, svarupatam, Kita prashaskrita ruda, Gudyayam tam anusmaran, Samrambhavaya yogena, Vindate tat svarupatam. Vaishnavis? Kita prashaskrita ruda, Gudyayam tam anusmaran, Samrambhavaya yogena, Vindate tat svarupatam. Okay, so I'll read 29. Evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manuja Ishvare Vairena Puta Papmanas Tam Apur Anus Chintaya. So word for word meaning. Kita, the grass worm. Peshaskrita, by a bee. Rudaha, confined. Kudyayam, in a hole, in a wall. Tam, that be. Anushmaran, thinking of. Samrambhavaya oyogena, through intense fear and enmity. Vindate, attains. Tat, of that be. Svarupatam, the same form. Evam, thus. Krishne, in Krishna. Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead. Maya Manuje, who appeared by his own energy in his eternal human-like form. Ishvare, the Supreme, Vairena, by enmity. Puttapapmanaha, those purified of sins. Tam, him. Apu, attained. Anuchintaya, by thinking of. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. A grassworm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or other think of Krishna, who is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins. Whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or an enemy, because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Please repeat. A grassworm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or other think of Krishna, who is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins. Whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or an enemy, because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4:10, the Lord says, Vita raga baya kroda man maya mam upasritaha bahavo jnana tapasa putta mad bhavam agataha. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, and taking refuge in me, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. End of quote. There are two ways of constantly thinking of Krishna, as a devotee and as an enemy. A devotee, of course, by his knowledge and tapasya, becomes free from fear and anger and becomes a pure devotee. Similarly, an enemy, although thinking of Krishna inimically, thinks of him constantly and also becomes purified. This is confirmed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, where the Lord says, Api chet sudura charo, bhajate mam ananya bhak, sadur eva sa mantavya, samyag vyavasito hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he engages in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. End of quote. A devotee undoubtedly worships the Lord with rapt attention. Similarly, if an enemy, sudurachara, always thinks of Krishna, he also becomes a purified devotee. The example given here concerns the grass worm that becomes bee-like because of constantly thinking of the bee that forces it to enter a hole. By always thinking of the bee in fear, the grass worm starts to become a bee. This is a practical example. Lord Krishna appears within this material world for two purposes, paritranaya sadvinam vinasaya cha duskritam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. The sadhus and devotees certainly think of the Lord always, but duskritis, the demons like Kamsa and Shishupal, also think of Krishna in terms of killing him. By thinking of Krishna, both the demons and devotees attain liberation from the clutches of material maya. This verse uses the word maya manuje. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in his original spiritual potency, sambhavami yapma mayaya, he is not forced to accept a form made by material nature. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Ishvara, the controller of maya. He is not controlled by maya. When a demon continuously thinks of Krishna because of enmity toward him, he is certainly freed from the sinful reactions of his life. To think of Krishna in any way, in terms of his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, or anything pertaining to him, is beneficial for everyone. Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. Thinking of Krishna, hearing the holy name of Krishna, or hearing the pastimes of Krishna will make one pure, and then he will become a devotee. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to introduce the system of somehow or other, letting everyone hear the holy name of Krishna and take Krishna prasad. Thus one will gradually become a devotee and his life will be successful. Om Ajnana Chimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Omanitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Bhupakadamayam Vinanti Svabhananti Kama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right. So there's a lot of things that Srila Prabhupada gave us in his purport. And basically we've been reading what Srila Prabhupada said in his purport for the last several verses in terms of remembrance of the Lord and how he is equal to every living entity. And that question is brought here by Sukadeva Goswami, King Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami. And he's wondering, how is it that Shishupal, great demons like these Shishupal, how is it that they can become liberated? And herein, in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how this happens, that simply by thinking of Krishna, and by this process of thinking of Krishna, one becomes purified. So the whole Krishna conscious movement is based on that principle. Srila Prabhupada expertly set up the society in such a way that the whole movement is just centered or focused on how to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And we see that when someone comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, they have no idea what is actually going on. They're not quite sure. They don't understand the language. They don't understand the culture. They don't understand how is it that a person from, you know, America can accept such a culture. They're very bewildered about the process. And, of course, this is because of their bodily consciousness identifying with a particular culture, race, consciousness. So these things are there, and they hamper one from understanding the science of Krishna consciousness. So what's unique is that even if one has no understanding, the purification takes place. Like all of us in this room, we don't come from India. We weren't born in India. We had no idea about India, literally, until we met the devotees. And whatever you thought was the goal of life, and whatever country you thought you came from, whatever bodily designation you may have, has been challenged by the Krishna conscious philosophy to the point where your own family members don't even know you anymore. I mean, you could go home and your mother and father could talk to you and they wouldn't understand anything you're saying. This reminds me of what I just spoke to a devotee. And he tried out Krishna consciousness for a while. He went to the program. Stayed for a while. He fell upon Krishna consciousness by accident. It wasn't something that he was really looking for. He just was coming here to, you know, just kind of see what's happening here. But it wasn't his desire. He had another desire to go somewhere else, do something else completely. Excuse me. And he happened to speak with devotees, and he thought that was kind of something he could do for a few months to check it out. So he moved in. He stayed for a while, chanted Hare Krishna, and in due course he felt he had some other goals that he wanted to pursue, and so he felt, well, now I'll try to do this. I'll try to go out and pursue these goals that I have, these desires. So he went home, and he was very close with his family, at least a member of the family, and this particular member of the family was very disturbed by him coming to the temple. So they tried to take him to church. And he went to church, went to Mass, he heard the sermon. And everything ended in 20 minutes. So this devotee was telling me that he was really frustrated. This is all you do? You think of God for 20 minutes a week? And then you go home and you involve yourself in whatever you like. And he was complaining like this to this family member. And they became very frustrated with him. So they kicked him out before because he didn't want to get a job and didn't want to work in the material world. So they booted him out of the house. Now he goes back after being a devotee. And then the family member again becomes frustrated with him because all he wants to do now is chant Hare Krishna and read Prabhupada's books. And they again become frustrated with him and threw him out of the house again. So he couldn't figure it out. He was just kind of talking to him. He said, what's going on? And he was just bewildered by the whole situation. Anyway, the story is still going on. We'll see what the end of it is. But he's in that particular stage of life right now. The point being is that this is how, just by the association of devotees and the Supreme Lord, by hearing about Krishna, one becomes purified to the point where one's family members can't even like understand him anymore. And they love him. I mean, you know, his family member really loved him and protected him, helped him in times of need. But he came back such a different person that she couldn't tolerate it anymore. So this is the effect of Krishna consciousness upon all of us. So it shouldn't be a mystery that a person who's demoniac, because before meeting Krishna consciousness, we were all very demoniac. Really, we were eating meat, taking intoxication, having so many illicit affairs in life. And really, those are actually demoniac activities. They're not at all saintly, but simply focused on sensing gratification. But we see that just by engaging in Krishna consciousness, by performing devotional service, we become purified. What's that verse? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yogya Prayojita Janana Yasya Vairagyam Gyanam Chara Aitukam. In that verse, he described, just by taking up devotional service, there is a result. There's two results specifically. It says that one's senses become purified. I mean, you know, you become detached automatically. You can't even figure it out. You all of a sudden, you know, how you used to have so much fun engaging in illicit activity. All of a sudden, those things just kind of like dissipate. It just kind of goes away. You can't figure out why, but they're just dissipating and you lose attraction for them. And the other thing is that you automatically develop knowledge. Now, what is that knowledge? See, the more that you hear about Krishna conscious philosophy, the knowledge that we acquire is the uselessness of this material world and engaging in all these activities. What is the benefit of it? What is the end result of that activity? You question like that every day. Every time you chant Hare Krishna throughout the day or in the morning during Mangalars, these are the things that are going through your mind. Especially when you first come to Krishna consciousness, everything that you hold dear or that you held dear is being challenged. And you think about it. And somehow or other, Krishna consciousness philosophy is so powerful that it dissipates those things and you can't figure out why. You try to understand and you dig deeper and you chant more intensely with more devotion, and you start crying out to Krishna, please Krishna, give me a sign, let me know, give me some understanding. And what we don't know is that understanding is that Krishna has actually taken away all your desires for sense enjoyment. We don't know that. We don't know how it's happening. It's very subtle. But it's taking effect. Just like this one devotee that came to Krishna consciousness and tried it out for a while. And he didn't know what the result was. But when he came home, his own family members didn't recognize him. So that we have this worm here that's being forced to go into a hole within a tree by the bee. And because out of fear, it's constantly thinking of that bee, it gradually becomes a bee. So this is the effect of Krishna consciousness upon each and every one of us. It's working in such a way that if we sincerely engage in the activities, we execute the science of Krishna consciousness properly, the effect is that we will become transformed, that we won't even recognize ourselves in terms of what we used to be like and what we used to hold dear within our own life. So if we simply worship the Adipurusham, the original person, this is the idea. If we worship the Supreme Person, the original person, we don't need to be fearful in any shape or form of being misled. This is the key element, because in the material world, we're being misled by so many different philosophies and so many different types of activities. And we're being misled by people who are actually wanting to cheat us. And that cheating effect is that they have no lasting result. This is how we're cheated. We think that the goal of life is to enjoy our senses, and we give so much stock to that. We put everything into it. We give everything for that purpose. We work hard in order to gratify our senses. But what is the end result? On a mundane level, we know that the American dream, there is this dream, and that American dream is that everyone, you know, has a wonderful family, has a few children, a person has a great job, he has a nice home, and he's supporting his family. This is the American dream, and everyone is encouraged to seek or pursue this American dream. But now we see that this American dream is being challenged. There's a challenge today, and people are losing this American dream. And when they lose it, they have no future. They don't know what to do. They become very frustrated, disturbed. They see nothing in the future for them, to the point where they become so despondent. Family members are, the family is being broken up as a unit. We see people are losing their homes. And this is the result of this American dream. And if that dream is even fulfilled, the end result is that you have to die, that you're forced to leave this material world, whether one likes it or not. You're forced to leave. And if one puts stock within that purpose of the American dream, what is the result? You simply get cheated, because at the end you have to leave this material world. So these bodily designations, they're very horrible. Very, very horrible. It's described Sarvapati Vinir Muktam Tatparatvina Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite, that this Bali designation can only be rectified by the process or the science of Krishna consciousness. And it's very simple. If one says, well, I'm unqualified, one may say, well, I can't read, or whatever, I'm not educated. I can't read, I'm not educated. Still, that person is qualified to become purified. And that is simply by the chanting of Hare Krishna. That if you just chant the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It takes effect. And Prabhupada says that by the chanting of the holy name, one can control the tongue. Prabhupada says that the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. But simply by the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, one can control the tongue. If one can control the tongue, then one's senses fall in line. It's like a straight line from the tongue. And we see that when a person cannot control their tongue, they talk so much nonsense. A lot of nonsense. And Prabhupada describes it like a croaking frog in the rainy season. In the rainy season, the frog is croaking. And the reason that it's croaking is to attract the opposite sex. So it's croaking, croaking, croaking. And the frog doesn't realize that the snake of death is approaching. Literally, the snake hears hears the vibration, feels the vibration of the croaking frog, and it slithers through the night and captures this frog as he's croaking. And Prabhupada describes that this croaking frog, when they do it, I'm sure that you've seen a nature movie, their chest bloats out and they become very puffed up. So we see that in the material world, this is the nature. We're croaking. We see that we're croaking for so much sense gratification. And we're forgetting. We're talking this nonsense. And we forget about what that nonsense is going to lead to. It simply leads to disaster. And the snake of death comes and bites us and takes away our pride, takes away all our hard work. So, it's described here that this control of the tongue is extremely important for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because, as we said, it's the most voracious. So, you can control the tongue by chanting the holy name and by taking prasadam. These are the two effects. And Krishna consciousness is understood by the ear, by hearing. It's by hearing. Not by seeing. You can see, but you can not understand Krishna unless you hear. So we hear and we taste. These are the two senses that are most important in advancement in Krishna consciousness. So if we hear so much nonsense, if we speak so much nonsense, then we see that our opportunities to advance and to understand the Supreme Lord become nullified the more that we speak this nonsense. And it also shows that we have an uncontrolled mind. So Krishna consciousness is very unique because Prabhupada also describes that Krishna consciousness is like one swift stroke and we can get rid of Maya. I was just reading this morning. A very nice example that Prabhupada gave. It says, just like the goldsmith has a hammer and he's ticking away, tapping, tapping to make the gold. But tapping, tapping, tapping. But Prabhupada says that the blacksmith, he has a large hammer. And with one swift stroke, he gets his job done. So Prabhupada says that the Bhakti Yoga process is like that one swift stroke of Krishna consciousness to get rid of this Maya or this illusion. And bhakti yoga is that science. That process of devotional service is that science that gives you that swift stroke to get rid of material desires. And sometimes that's very difficult, that one swift stroke. It's very difficult to accept. Sometimes we as conditioned souls, we want to like tap away at it. We want to sit like the goldsmith and we want to like tap, 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 tap at the understanding of Krishna consciousness. But we need to have this one swift stroke. This is how we cut the illusory energy. Not by this tapping. We can become distracted by the tapping. So we have to be very careful in the execution. And we see here, in this particular purport, Papa describes very nicely about how just hearing about Krishna can make one perfect. One can become liberated. One can actually become perfect in this life simply by accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Niharam eva bhaskara, that's right. Niharam eva bhaskaram. Bhaskaram means like the sun. It refers to the sun. And Prabhupada says that when the sun rises, it dissipates mist and fog and even the darkness of night. So Prabhupada describes Krishna as being the sun. When we take shelter of Krishna, he dissipates the darkness of ignorance in this material world. And we can take shelter of Krishna in this process of chanting the holy name. And so we see that's why the holy name is the most important activity. This is why Harinam, Sankirtan, is such a glorious and wonderful activity. Krishna is not understood by some sensual perception or a sensual conversation. Krishna is only understood by surrender. And this process of Harinam is surrendering to the holy name. We're crying out the holy name and we're surrendering to it. And this is why Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paritya Mam Ekam Saranam Raja. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishyami Masuchaha. Surrender. This is what Krishna wants. He demands that. But this is actually our disease also. Our disease is that we don't want to surrender. Although we're being forced to surrender at every moment. There's nothing more ludicrous than to say or hear someone say, I want to be independent. I don't want to take any authority. It's almost ludicrous because at the same time that person is saying that, but they're being pushed around and led around by the nose, by their senses. The tongue, the nose, the ears, the genital, the belly. These things are leading us around. We're at every moment surrendering to those senses and sense perception. It's ludicrous to think that we're independent. We need authority. We actually want authority. But our disease is that we don't want to surrender to authority. This is one thing we don't want to do. But Krishna, he demands it. So at every moment, we're surrendering to some authority. If you walk out this door, you can't proclaim yourself independent of the state of California and think that you can do whatever you want. They'll come and put you in jail. Sometimes some people have tried to do that. They've had a house and they proclaim themselves a separate state. And as soon as the authorities find out about it, they come in with the army and just wipe you out. So, first of all, the person who's doing that, a sane person will think, well, what an idiot. He has to accept authority. He has to accept the authority of the United States government. But this is the problem. We think that we're independent. And we think that we actually know, that we know better or know more than Krishna. We actually think a person who's on the material world, they actually think they know more and they're better than the President of the United States. And because of lack of control, they criticize him. They think, well, look at, he's a fool. You know, you can just be an ordinary laborer, and you can be in the street working, breaking brick, and thinking how Obama is an idiot, and I know more than him. I mean, this is like stupid. It's like, what benefit of that is? What's the benefit? So the same thing, like us, we're thinking, oh, I'm so independent. But where is your independence? How much independence do we have? It's like practically minuscule. It's like a seed. It's like nothing. So instead of surrendering to this illusion, this Maya, why don't we surrender to Krishna? Now, Krishna's not going to cheat you. He wants you to surrender to him, but he won't cheat you because Krishna is eternal and you're eternal. So we talk about eternality. We're not talking about just some temporary situation. Because if you don't like California, you can move to New York. Unfortunately, you have the same surrender. So you have to surrender, regardless of where you are, who you are, and what you think you may be. Surrender has to be there. So then why not surrender to Krishna? Why not give this life to Krishna? Why not just glorify Krishna and satisfy Krishna instead of trying to satisfy your senses, which lead nothing to but disturbance and distress and anxiety? Why surrender to the mind? What's the mind doing for you? It creates nothing but havoc. We see when we surrender to the mind, there's so many problems. Oh, I thought you said that. No, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. I thought you heard. I know I heard you. No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't mean that. Well, what did you mean? I meant this. No, you couldn't have meant that. We see that there's so many inconsistencies and problems that exist when we try to be on the mental platform or when we try to be on the bodily platform. There's so many, these upadis, they create so much problem for us. I think I'm Mexican. You know, I think I'm black. I think I'm white. All these designations create so many difficulties for us. Whereas if you surrender to Krishna, he'll help you transcend that platform. And you won't see that body. You'll see that body as just a vehicle. It's just some thing that you're encaged in with some certain amount of time. And you can't wait till you get out of that circumstance and to get into like the proper one, the spiritual one. And this all can exist simply by the chanting of Hare Krishna and controlling the tongue so that we can stop speaking nonsense, so that we can actually just take Krishna prasadam, and so that we can become liberated and purified. So this is what is happening here in this particular section, where Krishna is equal to all living entities, simply if we hear his transcendental name and take Krishna prasadam. Okay, jai. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All right, Hari Bol. Jai.
Okay, after prasadam, how will you do? Okay, now you service later. You want me to take the halwa, right?
Yeah.
No, I have it yesterday. I don't. It's bad for me. Even though I spoke to my. Krishna Krishna Ram Ram Hari Hari 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 Krishna